American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
It is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, December the 7th, 2009. And you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Did that sound like I said Kennedy? There, it totally did. It's actually seankennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that could be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Ones Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes. We're available on podcast.com and in Podcast Alley. And if you are so cybernetically gifted as to understand how to maneuver just a little bit in Second Life, you can meet us here every Thursday at Second Life Node Archers. Grid coordinates 155-74666. And with us in the house tonight, we have Suave, Spider Mike, Sophia, Smurf, Sharpshooter, RU46, Registra, Plump Dragon, Napalm, Mister, which is me, Morps, Max, Token Cat, Cade, Hero, Fuchikoma, Flash, Dwight, Drayden, DJ Dally, hey DJ Dally, Don, Damokin, Corey, my beautiful and talented Sumerian, co-Sumerian, who I'll introduce later, Karzar, Ball Traveler, who built this place, AOI, Anthony Metal Tuna, I believe is his last name, and of course, we have my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian, which now I'll just actually, I totally screwed that up, because I didn't mention Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 66.73.3 kilohertz, but I saved it last minute, and now, thanks to the ever-vigilance of my slender and svelte friend, Sumerian.
Hello, Sean.
How are you?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Good.
I was actually feeling...
Good. Just...
I'm cold, really, is what's happening. I'm freezing...
Keeps you awake during the show.
I'm freezing my toesies off. I'm wearing sandals, you know, because you never think about your...
Why?
You never think about your feet, right? I was wearing socks, and I got these Keens on, and anyway, it's cold, all right? It's November, it's December now. Gee whiz. And it's Canada, and I'm out on a concrete slab in a shed, okay? And I'm recording a show, yelling into
And there's a hole in the ice, and he's fishing, and he's waiting for the rod to jiggle.
Well, here we are. You know, it's not really that kind of a show. Honest to God, we're bleeding-edge cyberpunk guys over here. Yeah, we're...
That's right.
That's what we are.
We're in an underground bunker.
We are,
abandoned missile silo in the middle of nowhere.
So, anyway... what do we got? We got a little bit of feedback. I was going to say I didn't get into this before we get into the show. I listened to your last pirate broadcast, which, of course, you recorded another one today. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was really good.
Well, you like this one better. Number six is better than number five.
Well, of course, it's number six.
Getting better and better all the time, yeah. I mean, it should get better. If it gets worse, then I should give it up.
Well, you know, every show I would like to think has improved. I think I peaked a while ago. And maybe now this is just the slow,
decay. You just don't notice it. Gets worse and worse, and incrementally, you just can't tell each show. Tiny bit worse.
Just a touch. Just a touch. So, you know, I don't know. It's one of those kind of things that I look at it, and I sort of think, well, I may as well stick around. There seems to be more people. There's a lot more people here. We heard we broke our Second Life record. The other night we did. We broke it. It was.
Oh, that's exciting! Not the Thanksgiving one, but the one before that, because everybody was busy doing things on the last Thursday live broadcast. Yeah.
No, oh, well, whatever. You know, I mean, somebody showed up. Somebody thought it was cool. You know, which I'm down with. You're still just a touch hot. I don't mean to be a prick, But you're a touch.
Turn myself
hot.
Down then.
Yeah, just a touch. Just a touch. Sorry, man. Sorry, man.
No problem.
And all those wonderful people out there in forever will hear us adjusting our levels during the show. So let's get it. It's
the classic bit that we do every once in a while.
You know, every
adjusting the levels on the air.
We don't need to do that, of course. We don't.
It's good for a time filler. No, it's funny, right? We think it's funny.
It is funny. It is funny, and you're still hot. So I need you to turn you down just a
little.
I know.
You turn me down.
Well, no, because. Just a touch. Just a little bit more. Please. Pretty please. Come on. You just got to lean over. Did you do it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, we're done now. We're done with the levels. Dear Sean and the all-seeing eye of Rant, Sumerian. You'll notice that the greetings for Sumerian now are starting to get really good in these intros. They're like it's Sean. Hey, Sean.
Appreciating
yeah.
it.
You know, well, no,
it's
you're, the new,
of the new
you're
show,
the new hotness,
right?
Man. You're the new hotness. I've had my day.
Gaining attention.
Right? This is Rant Media reinventing itself, right? This is
old
Sumerian.
Old man Sean.
The old,
yeah.
That's right. Well, you're the other old man, you know, because you said
that's
it was
true,
actually
yeah.
the old men of the internet. And we're exactly
so
the
was.
Same age. So it's like, well,
didn't
like
that.
A month apart. Yeah. So it's.
I thought we had editorial control on that art.
No, yes, he made us look really nice. I mean, no, he didn't. I mean,
no,
really,
it was great.
Oh, it was beautiful. It's
and
like,
if people don't know what we're talking about, it was featured in a magazine. What was this, from? Interesting Times, a magazine number two. So
yeah,
let's check it out.
Yeah, Interesting Times. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. They're looking for some dudes as well. And our local magazine, what's our radio station's mag? Like, Rant is Pain, right?
Oh, that's Pain. Pain Magazine.
Pain Magazine, which is another, like...
Put out whenever we feel like it.
Put out whenever they feel like it. But, yeah, if you want to know what kind of magazine Buddy's running, like, if you haven't checked out Pain, make sure you check that out. And if you like the way that tastes, you should definitely check out this.
Yeah, both very similar, so it's good. It's a good
Well,
goal.
They're the same
great.
Kind of magazine. It's a dangerous thing to say they're similar. You know, it is. Because you don't want to step
both
on anybody's
toes. That's about as far as they go. I
yeah,
guess.
Well, you know, and so not to call anybody down, but, you know, hey, we got...
They're both great.
They are great. It's hard when you're recommending media to people, but it's good, you know. Go check it out. Anyway, Dear Sumerian... the all-seeing eye of Rant. I think I'll call you that. T-A-S-E-O-R. Tazor. The all-seeing eye of Rant. Oh, man.
Whoa.
I think I may have to digitally baptize you. And then everyone who, like, oh, Tazor. That's awesome. We just made history, man. Like,
Tazor.
Right here on the internet, we could, like, change your name to Sumerian Tazor. Like, yeah, the all-seeing eye of Rant. That's better than SKTFM. Yeah, Tazor. Send me the Tazor. That's, oh, dude. That's going on a business card. James O'Brien, Sumerian, Tazor. That's the all-seeing eye of Rant.
You do that.
No, I. It's too late. It's too late. The mail's going to start showing up addressed to Tazor. People won't call you Sumerian anymore. Though every time you talk, they're
Great.
Like, hey, it's Tazor. That's what's going to happen. That's
I'm like a third generation Transformer toy, Tazor. Transformed from a flying robot.
As opposed to a large, sweaty, you know, muscle.
I am Tazor.
It's great. Oh, grumpy pants. Grumpy pants.
I transform into a gun. I am Tazor.
It's not a gun. You transform into a less than lethal device. Which
I will incapacitate you for a limited time. I am Tazor.
Which is strangely ironic, considering, you know, with the whole vegan pacifist approach thing. You know, I think it's somewhat fitting. Really? It kind of is.
Somewhat, yeah.
You know, I mean, not making fun of you kind of way, which I am a little bit. But, you know, you got to admit, that's pretty good. You know, you don't actually turn into a gun. You turn into a, you know, anyway.
We've almost made it to the letter, folks.
Well, yeah, we almost did. You know, I'm not reading this guy.
Now you know
either.
How what the hell could be 3 hours long.
In episode 429, you spoke of your hate for women being beaten and standing up for your convictions. In episode 429, I said that. You know, this is when it scares me, when people say shit like that, and I'm like, oh my God.
I don't remember
that. You know,
that.
We gotta warm up the disclaimer at the beginning of the show. The one that says, this is all bullshit and it's bad for you. Okay, like, it's entertainment purposes only, you know, Weekly World News kind of stuff going on here. Don't take us seriously.
It's not real.
Yeah, otherwise,
it's all fake.
You know, like the nice guy said, I'll get sued through the floor. So please don't sue me. We're making fun. Couple of retards on the internet. Okay, anyway. Well, I have. He was talking about, on episode 429, you spoke of your woman being beaten up and standing up for your convictions. Well, I have. I was the person, this is a follow-up, I was the person who you told in a previous show not to get involved with a female friend of mine who was in an abusive relationship. You told me straight up, this is not your problem. You remember that guy? And I went off for like 20
yes.
minutes on the show.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not your problem. Okay, here we go. After milling this thought around, I came to the decision I wouldn't be able to look myself in the mirror for the rest of my life if I did try to help someone who means a lot to me. So he wraps himself in a flag.
In shining armor.
Dun, dun. So against your advice, I sold my sword and axe collection. Jesus. You know. Well, you know, nobody said you had a sword and axe collection. And I don't know how I feel about you getting rid of your... I know how I feel about you getting rid of the sword and axe collection. I think that's a good idea. I don't know how I feel about you selling it. Anyway, the sword and axe collection, I bought her a ticket back to Canada. She and her son are now safe and is no longer at risk of being hurt or, you know, getting in trouble with the husband. You've always said, you're not a religion, do not worship. So I followed my heart and did what I thought was best. I totally respect your advice, but I thank you more than I can express for being as brutal as you were. You made me think to the black and white and define what my opinion should be without all the bullshit. But for me, my choice was simple. You never try to help one person, you'll never help anyone. I love Rant, and you two guys are the most rock and balls people I've ever known. Please keep up the good fight. Most of all, always shout what you believe in your hearts. Your devoted fan and practicing Simonite.
Bless you, son.
Yes, that's right. There you go. You know, he is not king.
Follow the path you have virtue and
well, that's all part of
being... Follow the path of veganism and truth.
Well, and it's spoken like the all-seeing eye of Rant, man. You know? I mean, that's why it's your title. That's why you wear it like a crown. You know? crime. Whoops, Freudian slip. Wear it like a crown. Sorry. Well, you know, back to Buddy in the letter here. You must love her. Hope she appreciates that. Hope this thing still tastes good in 5 years. Because you're fucking in for penny and in for pound now. So she's got to know that you love her. I'll tell you that. Because that's a hell of a thing you did right there. And good for you for doing what you think is right. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're not, you know, but I think that if you do follow your heart, I mean, what else can you follow, really? I mean, because if you don't follow your heart and you go with your head, then later on you'll be like, I am a robot. I have no feelings, you know.
I am alone.
Yeah, you know, and you wind up, you know, it's a bad scene. You don't want to do that. So, well done, you, and a bit of an update there, which I thought was good. I always like it when people don't take my advice and their life works out better. No, that makes me feel good. Because, like, what if I was wrong? You know, what if I phoned that one in?
There you go.
What if my all-seeing eye, you know, I'm not Tazor. You're
and he
Tazor.
Says, and then she died.
Yeah, and then she died. Oh.
I followed your advice and her husband killed her.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, well, more meat for the fire. You know, that's sort of my attitude. But, well, you know, that's the great part about being me. I can just be as vicious as I like. No, but to be honest, I always try to, you know, it's hard. People ask you crazy questions. You know, what do you say
make a decision, and it's hard.
You know, and I don't care about anybody but the fan. So he's my fan. Fan might have family and extended family and kids and stuff, but they're not my fans. That guy's my fan. Yeah. So when I give advice for the fans and the fans. And, you know, I'm not worried about the fan's grandma. I'm not worried about the fan's kids. I'm worried about the fan. If the kids are there, the kids will be like, yeah, daddy's totally right. You know, that's exactly what's going to be going on there, which is an awkward and uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
So, dear Sean, if I could be so bold, I'd like to offer some extra advice to the listener who wrote in and asked which branch of the military you'd recommend he join. I myself enlisted in the U.S. Army recently and just got out of the basic in the middle of June 2009, which tells me that he's probably been listening to the show for a while. and I may have had a role in that. Anyway, I hope my update experience with the process might help. You're absolutely right. Be it in either the Navy or the Air Force will most definitely be most likely to land you in a position in which you'll be surrounded by tech. And the odds are you'll have the opportunity to train in a more diverse set of skills. As I've been told by some buddies in the Navy, my job is such that all services are trained in the same base. The tradition of learning the ropes on a ship is still in a practice, and as such, you probably won't learn just one job. While these sorts of jobs do exist in the Army, they don't represent the majority of your duties. You signed up to be a mechanic? Good for you! Go pull guard duty at the main gate for the next 36 hours. The Air Force and the Navy stress the concept of being professional, while the Army stresses the concept of being a soldier first. And that's an interesting word, soldier, which has been, manipulated. So what does that mean, being a soldier? What's the difference between being a soldier and being a terrorist? It has to do with values that the individual believes in. No, it's true. So there's a big difference between a soldier and a terrorist. Huge difference between a soldier and a terrorist. And the difference is in the values, right? It's the values that they hold. And that is a huge...
If they're part of your team, they're a soldier. If it's part of the other team, it's a terrorist.
No, it doesn't work like that.
You think they call themselves terrorists?
Well, there's cases where there was, like, mercenaries who were ordered to go in and slaughter groups of people and stuff like that who've rebelled. But we're not gonna go down that road, because that will be a 5-hour show by itself, and you're just itching to get on to fight in that one. And I'm not. It's not about that, Sim. It's not all about you. Both have their pros and cons, all depending on what you're looking at to get out of the experience. See, we got to stay in context. This is one major issue when considering the Air Force or Navy, though. You don't get to pick out your specific job before joining. Just the general field, i.e. support, administration, combat arms, etc. It's not until your pathway is through basic that you get to find out in a particular job is available. With the Army, however, you get your to pick the actual job you'll be trained in, blah, 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 blah. So it's he goes on to say... both of these have their risks. I just thought I'd like to help a fellow WOG null moniker. So, and I chopped that down. That was actually much larger. That email was huge. And he's like, he's writing earnestly, because he's like, dude, I just did this. Like, this is what you got to do. You know what I mean? Like, but essentially, Sean was right. Yeah, you want to go either Army or Navy or Air Force. I mean, because really, I'd have a big boner for flying choppers. Like, if I was to, roll up another character, I think I wouldn't mind being a chopper pilot in the U.S. Army. Hell yeah. I mean, they got some nice birds. You know, they really do. It'd be kind of neat.
Good skill, yeah.
It'd be fun. Flying around in Apaches, that'd be pretty neat. I gotta think that'd be pretty cool, man. Like, kind of... Some kids would have liked to have been, like, the Maverick kind of Top Gun crowd, but I think I was a little bit more Warbirds. What was that? Firebirds. With the Tommy Lee Jones. God-awful movie. Oh. I really loved it.
Glad I missed it.
When did that come out? When did Firebirds come out? Because I saw it in the theaters when it came out. I think I saw it opening night, actually. Because I was such a...
You're so excited.
Oh, I was a war hawk as a teenager. I had the Operation Desert Storm t-shirt. I had it all, man. I was totally...
1990.
Yeah, so I would have been 16.
17, 16.
16,
yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, I was all about that. Oh, man, I saw that opening night, and I thought it was the greatest. I was just in love with the machine. I could have watched a 3-hour, like, Lockheed Martin video of gun camera footage of the Apache. Because at the time, you didn't see that shit. That was unheard of.
No, it was pretty rare.
Now
that's all you got,
gun camera
right?
footage everywhere, but you're seeing gun camera footage for the first time, you're like, fuck yeah, man, that guy's getting smoked. You know, that's what you're thinking, right? So it's pretty brutal. It's pretty brutal. Yeah, so anyway, so back then, back in 1990, that was hot shit, watching Apache gunships doing runs and stuff like that. Now I've got, good buddies of mine who are watching it live. It's crazy. How does that happen?
Yeah.
Dear Sean and Samarian, a few of my friends, including the goldfish, insist that this Lady Gaga is in fact an Illuminati slave for the media. Of course I laughed. I laughed at this so hard I had to look it up and do a little research on this for myself. I've read some articles and people make some valid points. I can now see that it's pretty obvious that she is portraying the ideas of the all-seeing eye. Again, like Tazor, but only of evil. So we'd have to find out with, that's ass. So like ass, we'll have to come up with the all-seeing eye of the bad media. You know, like modern media is all-seeing. So there'd be like Mazor, all-seeing eye of media. You know, so yeah. So the that, you know, I think it's the all-seeing.
What are we, G.I. Joe? We have acronyms everything?
Well, somebody's got to do something with G.I. Joe, because God knows, you know, whoever it was that got, you know, the licensing for that has just murdered that. I mean, I don't even want to talk about G.I. Joe. So, yeah, for all those thousands of people out there who would have liked to have seen a decent G.I. Joe movie, who are now wandering the earth with scorched psyches and perhaps come across this show, absolutely, I will provide you with some small semblance of your childhood by creating code words for Spectre and stuff like that. Besides, it's way cooler when you have code words. Americans are awesome for code words, too. They have, like, the best code, you know, Wolfpack and stuff. Oh, that's awesome. They really got the good code words. You know, some people get excited about weird shit. Some people get excited about golf. You know, really. So, I'm just
that's
saying.
That's true, yeah.
You know, hey, you know, this is exciting. Anyway, but he goes on to say, I can now see that it's pretty obvious you're portraying the ideas of the all-seeing eye. But I just can't stop laughing at the accusation. It's madness. I'd like to know how you two feel about this Lady Gaga being an Illuminati slam. Much love to you both. And I've masked it. Well, first of all, everybody in Hollywood is an Illuminati slave. I mean, that's just right off the cuff. You know, straight out the gate. That's a fact. Okay, like, they're all... Those people don't do anything that they want. They don't do anything.
Told their puppets, they're strung along and said, do this, do that.
They're not even strung along. They have gotten where they are by their ability to anticipate need. That is what they are.
They are completely
psychologically malleable individuals who are living a life of choice. They are really in a lot of trouble, I think. When you look at a lot of the people in Hollywood, I don't know what it is about Hollywood, but something about Hollywood just chews people up and spits them out. Maybe it's the all the glitz and all the bullshit and the self-help gurus and that whole thing, you know.
But
it's a dangerous town.
Hollywood works like this. It's they look for something specific and they go out in the world. Do you look like something that'll... marketing scheme that you're a female and you sing, so you're the next one. Step up to the stage. If you don't like it, we'll pick the next person in line.
Huh. Yeah, which is true. You know, it's pretty sad that that's what it is. And they manufacture them. I mean, you look at that daughter of that chick who died. What was her name? The Guess Jeans girl. She's a beautiful woman. What was her name? Oh my God. She just died. She had a kid.
Just died?
Yeah, she just died.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I want to say Claudia Schaffer.
Dated the really old guy.
Yeah, she married the old guy, got the money, and then what the hell is her name? She had a reality show for a bit there.
Come on, people, help us
Anna
out here.
Nicole
Anna
Smith.
Nicole Smith.
Thank you, Dawn. No, Damakin. Anna Nicole Smith, yes. But, it was Dawn. Dawn got it. Anna, she spelled a speech, but she was typing fast. Yeah, Dawn Dorman.
Yeah.
But anyway, Anna Nicole Smith. And she was beautiful, beautiful woman. You know, and we get to videotape her destruction. Like, you could get that shit on DVD where you're watching her sanity slowly drain out of her home. You know, it's unbelievable.
Yep.
It's sick. Man, it's really deranged.
But it's for our entertainment.
It's entertainment. This is where the problem is, you see. Is that you and I agree in a lot of the same things, but I get a little bit, you look at stuff, and for whatever reasons, we both agree that this is, like, a really bad idea. This is a bad idea. We agree
in principle. Maybe we don't agree on how to deal with it, but
yes,
we agree in on all the principles.
Right.
Yes.
you wish to use, you know, the higher ideals techniques, which may not have been proven, but show a lot of promise. And I want to use techniques that have been battle-tested for the last 4,000 years.
I'm in the middle of the scale between Sean and Maverick. The ones on either extremes.
Hey, have you heard from Vavrick later? Lately, I mean, he's doing.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
doing
yeah.
Good,
he's doing some great music.
And he's
using his music in a lot of stuff. It's awesome.
If I remember correctly, he's just about to have his first child, I think.
Very shortly.
Yeah, yep. Which is a big deal. That's a pretty big deal right there. You know, having a kid. That's kind of freaky. You know, so good for you.
Somebody's got to do it.
Well, yeah, it's not going to be me.
It's going to be us.
That's. I'd rather go sign up for Bud's training. Thank you. Anyway, I got bitched out in German here. This is great.
Well, if you're going to be bitched out, why not German?
It's good. It was, it's ESL German, and I've edited this also pretty headily because he got really excited near the end of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it really degrades as you go. It's really funny. You got me writing.
Awesome.
You got me writing to you, obviously. I should see if I can do my worst German accent doing this, too. You got me writing to you, obviously. The last episode of Newsreel made me make a note. Sean's categories of Russians, Finns, Americans, and, of course, fucking Germans, and the reduction of maybe, let's say, simplification of peoples as a whole seems quite limiting in the long run. The folks now and then have never been... The folks now and then have never been a coherent, homogenific, mindless, robotic mass. Americans in the 20th are all people who lived then. What do we have in common with them now? Something for sure. But are we like them? As a German, I find the mindless, scheming, revenge-seeking Nazi hunt in Inglorious Bastards quite a spitting on the living people rather than any kind of mindful of thinking about things and people that were and have been. And that is only the latest caricature I've seen. Now, as you can understand, this is like, wow. I mean, he's
mad.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all. As a matter of fact, I think it's...
Oh, he's mad. He's mad.
Oh, he's mad. He's mad. But I think he's using the right words in the right order.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a little bit jagged. But after you roll that around through your mouth a few times, I think he's getting his point across. Things like this keep the wooden thinking in schemes alive. I like read that line like 15 times.
That's
things
awesome.
Like this keep the wooden thinking in schemes alive. I'm like, damn, that's great.
that's a magical use of the English language.
That's good shit. No, totally. And you know what? If you say, what does he mean? Like, don't make fun of him. What's the fuck? What does he mean? What does he mean by that? Is he fucking around? No, he's
wooden
pretty
thinking.
Eloquent.
No, he's very good.
You know, so, I mean, he's not... He's making a point here. Of course, you will go on doing what you do. Yeah, what the hell. But what about leveling up?
That's awesome.
Yeah, which I think is pretty funny.
Besides, level up, Sean. Come on. Level up.
Level up, man. Level up. Come on. Get with the program. Leibach's singing sounds like a native Slavonian language-speaking man trying to bring out the German sentence. Check out Das Eich, or maybe Gothis Urban. Okay, so there you go, Sam. You got to go find those two bands. I know you can see them there. I have
some Das Eich. It's good.
Oh, do you? Okay, well, there we go.
But I don't have any other band, so I'll have to check.
So we'll have to see. And that's the magic of the internet right there. So, yeah, we got it. And that's from Respect to You, Gentlemen, Trollhammer, which I thought was really funny.
nice.
Yeah, so I got, and he went off about how, you know, I'm classifying people as, you know, Germans and Finns and stuff like that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
stop classifying.
Know. Well, it's
stop
funny.
Stop pigeonholing, saying all Canadians are the
well,
same
you know,
or all
that's,
Americans
that's,
are the same.
That's why I'm into the whole WOG thing. You know, I like the WOG. Anybody could be a WOG, you know. I'm just saying that if you are, no matter who you are, you're okay. You know, and yeah, I'm speaking more towards the stereotypes. So, of course, I mean, you know. Everybody is very, very different, yet in a lot of ways, everybody is very, very much the same. And there's a lot of strange myths that permeate and stereotypes that permeate around. And, you know what? The Nazis died a long fucking time ago, and I guess it must be pretty hard. You know, I never really...
I would think so. If say, the Canadians did something really bad back in the turn of the century...
Well, they weren't even Canadians, man. They were Nazis. They were fucking Nazis.
I know, but what if? What if? And people came with us all the time. We see it in movies, and we're always the bad guy. Germans are the bad guys constantly.
Well,
I mean, I guess that would wear on you. That would wear on you over time.
I've always, you know, and this is going to sound terrible. This is going to sound terrible, but I've always thought that the Nazis like really were the greatest bad guys ever. You know what I mean? Like, you ever notice that we haven't had bad guys ever as bad as the Nazis? Like, the Nazis...
No, they trumped it all.
They were the fucking Hugo Boss, Ralph Lauren. They had skulls on their collar dogs. They worshipped the devil. You know, they had death camps where they were slaughtering innocent people for their own occult reasons to exterminate a race. Like, can you... And these guys, like, they weren't stupid either. They were working on time distortion equipment and shit. Like, those guys were off the hook. And you look at that and you go, how did they do that? How did they take this broken... How did a bunch of smashed... You know, barbarians who got the living shit beat out of them in the First World War and had treaties put on them that was just fucking gross, deserved, you know. And yet, that is a tough people. You know, wow, Germans are tough. I mean, Germans have got to be the toughest motherfuckers ever. They almost took over the planet. We damn near, like, killed them dead. But anyway... You know, I wouldn't fuck with Germans. I've got a lot of respect for Germans. I worked with the Germans for a long time. No, I went on a Remembrance Day. No, I did. I went on a Remembrance Day with a bunch of Germans. We all formed up across from each other. It was weird. It was like, you know, my grandfather killed your grandfather kind of a thing. But then afterwards, everybody all got drunk, and we got, like, the greatest Canadian-German war stories on the go that you ever heard. And it was fantastic, you know. So, you know, and it's always a threat. It's always a threat when I do the show. That I'm going to piss somebody off, and I'm going to make, you know, someone's going to play the ethnic card.
Well,
they're going to call me a racist.
If you don't piss someone off, you're not doing your job.
I'm not a fucking racist. I'm not trying to play the German ethnic card or whatever. I'm largely a comedian. So please, you know, don't take it personal. You know, I love, you know, German women.
He loves everyone.
I do. Well... I like my stereotypes. No, I like my stereotypes. My stereotypes are probably cooler than the real people are. I'm just saying. Like, my mind, I've never been to Germany, so of course, Germany looks like the Matrix, right? Right off the top. The whole country does, right? The whole place looks like the Matrix.
Yeah.
And that is where all black vinyl clothing comes from. All the distortion equipment for bands is made in Germany. Okay, they have that sound, that drang, that distorted sound. They actually own all copyright on that sound. So any music you hear that's worth a fuck that comes out of that part of the world comes out of Germany. You know, industrial music, they've patented the bald head. Most men walk around wearing fashionable welding goggles all the time. And you never get to... And also, almost everything is black and white in Germany. And that's just the guys who are...
Well, I've been there, and I wish it was like that. It's just another European country.
Shut your filthy cake hole. I want
it
my lie.
It was awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I like my lie. You know, everybody's...
They played industrial music in the street.
It was leather pants everywhere. All the chicks are monster hot, and they've got, you know, their body weight and chains on. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, that's Germany. That's Germany in Sean's world. That's Germany in my head. Okay, so, you know.
Germany in my head. There's a good name for an album or a band or something.
You know, it's that's the way I like to think of Germany. So, you know, trust me. It's not meant as any kind of a diss. Trollhammer. For shame, Trollhammer. Trolling me out like that. Update. A big fat lie sent in by DC. Who's essentially a good person? Peru's police chief has suspended a top investigator for saying he had caught a gang who were murdering people to sell their fat. Remember that show? I covered that last show.
Selling
people's fat. Yeah. Last month, top organized crime investigator Felix Merga said to police he'd arrested four suspects who confessed to murdering 60 people. They said they were selling the fat for thousands of dollars a liter. Okay. But the macabre tale now appears to be nothing more than a tall tale or a big fat lie. In an extraordinary press conference, police showed two bottles of what they said were human fat and a photo of a decapitated head. Mr. Merga told journalists how the four suspects had confessed to gruesome murders, retrieving an Andean legend about the Pishtacos, mythical killers who murdered people on lonely roads to collect their fat. But 2 weeks later, a complete lack of evidence showed the police an account, showed the police account to be more fiction than fact. As a result, police Peru's chief officer, Miguel Hidalgo, announced Mr. Muga would be put on indefinite leave from his job for sullying the reputation of his unit. So, he didn't actually have any bodies or anything. He just said that 60 people got killed and, you know, he was trying to, like, what, do a reality television show, I guess?
I don't know. He's trying to be the hero.
Blah, 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 blah. So the show I did, the story I did last week about the guy cutting people up and rendering them for human fat, disappointingly, is not true. You know, because now we're like, oh.
That's right.
Well, you know, I listened to that story and I, you know, went out and bought four more boxes of 45 ammo, Sean, because, you know, I figured, you know, that was empowering and I wanted to go out and buy some more ammo and I listened to that story and now I feel bad. I've got buyer's remorse over the precautions I've taken in order to prepare for the apocalypse, which is, don't worry though, we have lots of paranoid shit in the news for you today. For example,
oh yeah,
if you're not worried about the Peruvian warlords selling your body fat, and let's be real, some of us could make quite a bit of money. In maritime warlord news, thank you very much ad nauseum for sending this in. In Somalia's main pirate lair of Hadarir, the sea gangs have set up a cooperative to fund their hijackings offshore. A sort of a stock exchange meets criminal syndicate. Heavily armed pirates from the lawless Horn of Africa nation have terrorized the shipping lanes in the Indian Ocean and strategic Gulf of Aden, which links Europe to Asia through the Red Sea. The gangs have made tens of millions of dollars in ransoms, and deployment by foreign navies in the area has only appeared to drive the attackers to hunt further from shore. It is a lucrative business that has drawn financiers from the Somalia diaspora and other nations. And now the gangs in Hadarir has set up an exchange to manage their investments. So that's great. So you've got, like, you know, millions of dollars coming out of the pirates in, you know, Somalia in this region, right? And you've got partnerships now so you can have, like, MS-13 funding the pirates of Somalia. And you'll have, like, Russian crime families trying to get into that. That's great. That's really good.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
One wealthy former pirate named Mohammed told Reuters about the small facility, said it had proved to be an important way for the pirates to win support from the local community for their operations, despite the dangers it involves. This is just talking
about local, right?
Yeah. 4 months ago, during the monsoon rains, we decided to set up this stock exchange. We started with 15 maritime companies, and now we're hosting 72. 10 of them so far have been successful at hijacking. So,
growth opportunity here.
Yeah. The shares are open to all and everyone can take part. So this is like a 419 Nigerian scam with piracy. Whether personally at sea or landed by providing cash, weapons, or other useful materials, we made piracy a community activity. What? It works on like... what the fuck? This is like... This is bizarre.
This is crazy.
This is like cannibalism. Okay?
Read the last two lines. They're the best.
Okay. Hadarir, 400 miles short of Mogadishu, is said to be the small fishing village. Now it is a bustling town where luxury 4x4 cars, owned by the pirates, and those who bankroll them, create honking jams along its potholed, dusty streets. Now, there's no cops, right? So you've got, like, fucking SUVs loaded with fully loaded whatever, like, Holy Wild West, okay? Somalia's western-backed government of President Sheikh Sharif Ahmed is pinned down battling hardline Islamist rebels and controls little more than a few streets of the capital. The administration has no influence in Hadarir, where a senior local official is said piracy paid for almost everything. Piracy-related business has become the main profitable economic activity of our area, and as locals, we demand on their output, said Mohammed Adam, the town's deputy security officer. The district gets a percentage of every ransom from the ships that have been released, and that goes to public infrastructure, including our hospitals and our public schools. In a drought-ravaged country that provides almost no employment opportunities for fit young men, there have been many drawn to the allure and riches they see being earned at sea. Abir Durman Ali was a secondary school student in Mogadishu until 3 months ago when his family fled the fighting there. Given his choice of moving in with his parents to Lego, their ancestral home in Middle Shabara, where strict Islamic rebels have banned most entertainment, including watching sport or joining the pirates, he opted to head for Hadarir. Now he guards a Thai fishing boat held just offshore. First, I decided to leave the country and migrate, but then I remembered my late colleagues who died at sea while trying to migrate to Italy. So I chose this option instead of dying in the desert from mortars in Mogadishu. You know... The last two lines of the article are, "I am waiting for my share after I contributed a rocket-propelled grenade for this operation," she said, adding as she got the weapon from her ex-husband in alimony. So when you're giving out RPGs as your ex-husband, you know. "And I'm really happy and lucky. I've made $75,000 in only 38 days since I joined the company."
I can see the television advertisements on TV right now. Yeah. Send your $100 to the Somali Pirates. It doubles in 28 days.
Send us your old RPGs. RPGs for cash. You got old RPGs lying around? Let us use those RPGs in investments with Somali Pirates. And we'll give you a couple of pigs or something in return. Don't you worry. It'll be okay. You know, at some point, it stops being funny. At some point, you kind of sit there and go, wow,
there's no money there. No money at all coming into that area. So I could see why people would go and this kind of stuff, ship and start attacking people. They're gonna die.
Well,
money there. If all these rebel factions are raping your land, women, and money, and taking it somewhere else, and
there's
nothing left, what do you do? What's left? You could fight the guys that are taking your stuff, or fight some unarmed shipmen.
I hope they're building bunkers. I really do, because you know that's not sustainable. Somebody's going to show up with some gunships, and they're going to nail everybody to the floor. It's a bizarre story. In surveillance news, Sprint Nextel provided law enforcement agencies with customer location data more than 8 million times between September 2008 and October 2009, according to a company manager who disclosed the statistic at a non-public interception and wiretapping conference in October. So what he's talking about here is he's talking about the GPS locations provided to law enforcement. And Sprint Nextel provided it 8 million times in 1 year, which is very interesting.
Yeah, that's a lot of criminals.
I guess so. The manager also revealed the existence of a previously undisclosed web porthole that Sprint provides law enforcement to conduct automatic pings to track users. Through the website, authorized agents can type in a mobile phone number and obtain a global positioning system's coordinates of the phone. Over the web. Bang, where is this guy right
now? That's handy.
Yeah,
track him, watch him move. Yeah,
that's pretty slick. And that's in existence. Okay? Anybody can get me a login and pass for that? That'd be great. The revelations uncovered by a blogger and privacy activist, Christopher Soghoing, have spawned questions about the number of Sprint customers who've been under surveillance, as well as the legal processes agents follow to obtain such data. But Sprint Nextel's spokesman said that Soghoing, who recorded the Sprint manager's statements at the closed conference, misunderstood what the figure represents. Yeah, because clearly this guy's an idiot. The number of customers whose GPS data was provided to local, states, and federal law enforcement agencies was much less than 8 million. It was like 6 million or something, you know.
way less. Oh, yeah, that's out of control.
That's like, you know, way less. You know, who cares about 6 million? You know, anyway. The spokesman wouldn't disclose how many of Sprint's 48 million customers had their GPS data shared, or indicated the number of unique surveillance requests from law enforcement, but he said that a single surveillance order against a lone target could generate thousands of GPS pings. Oh, so, you know, thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands of, see, that's where he fucked up. If he'd have said a couple hundred, if he'd have said hundreds of GPS pings, I would have believed that. You know, but thousands, no, man, no. I don't think, what are they doing? They're sitting there hitting the button. You know, did you not write that whole "please do not click the button" more than once on the website thing? Did you not do that?
Please wait. Do not click again.
Your website got DOSed. I'll put it to your website can't process that many orders all at once. So let's just break down 8 million requests and how long would it take your website to process 8 million requests. And then we'll just look at your traffic and we could probably figure out exactly what that is. But anyway, it could generate thousands of pings to a cell phone, and the police track the subject's movements over the course of days or weeks. That, Sprint claims, the source of 8 million figure. It's the cumulative number of times Sprint cell phones covertly reported the locations to law enforcement over the year.
If they're doing it 24 hours a day, I've narrowed it down. It's 15 times a minute doing it. If they're doing it 24 hours.
15 times a minute over a year?
Yeah.
So...
That's what the statistics are from, is from over a year worth of data.
So it's 15 times a minute over a year.
Yeah.
What is that, like one every 4 seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're constantly surveilling somebody.
One every
four? That's a bit too high.
Yeah, they're pretty busy. You know, that's, wait a minute, 4 times 15.
Still a lot of criminals, yeah.
1 every 4 seconds, yeah. Wow.
That's... Unless they're pinging them like crazy, which, really, do you need that?
Well,
tailing somebody?
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure I really dig that. I'm not really too sure I dig the whole, you know, rather than us all be chipped and have it put into our head against our will, they're going to make us voluntarily carry around these precious electronics, which we think are some sort of sex statement, you know, called a cell phone. And we all want them. We want them so bad, you know. Anyway.
You want to be on Facebook too, so bad. Give us all your data. They make it shiny. Right?
Oh yeah,
they make you want to give you their data.
That's right.
And rewards.
That's right. That's right. It's all, you know, psy operations. It's all bullshit, and it's bad for you. You know, and that's why we at least try to be honest with you here on the show. You know, there's people out there who everybody wants to get a buck from you. You know, and I'll be honest with you, so do we. We're just not that good at it. You know, we're not really good at closing the sale. You know, we just kind of wander around and, you know, try to have some fun and entertain people a little bit. But it's unbelievable to me, you know, the kind of, I don't know, distortion that is required in the minds of people to just... carry around and give up everything about their own personal freedoms and who they are, and just, you know, is it because we're all raised by television? Is that what it is? Is it because we're all raised by the cathode ray nipple that we don't even have an identity anymore? We're just imprinted. That's why it's called programming. It's television programming. Is that what's going on now?
Oh yeah.
You know.
I theorized on my show that we're so used to these reality television shows that we want to live in one. We want to be under surveillance 24 hours a day now.
Yeah.
It's just natural to us. Our favorite people are on television are under surveillance all the time, slickly edited together with a theme song. Why can't I be?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's all over the media, which leads us nicely into the segue to the U.S. surveillance news. In when Andrea Bellino was expecting her first child, much like, you know, Maverick is, she never dreamed his blood would become the focus of a federal lawsuit. Neither did all of the other families who are suing the state of Texas to protect the medical privacy of their children. Each year, more than 400,000 babies are born in Texas. State law mandates that before newborns leave the hospital, his or her heel will be pricked and 5 drops of blood are collected. 2 weeks later, their pediatrician collects another 5 drops of blood. The blood cards are submitted to the Texas Department of State Health Services as part of a newborn screening program. 1 or 2 drops are used to screen for a list of serious medical conditions. The parents are not objecting to the screening. They object to what the state is doing with the leftover blood samples. Beginning in 2002, the state... So this has been going on now, what? It's 2000, so like pretty close on, you know, 7 years here.
Well, it's a decade, yeah.
Yeah,
it's getting on.
The state began saving the leftover specimens unbeknownst to parents and without their consent. So, yeah, we screened. It's good. Thanks for that. Yeah. It really made me mad that nobody asked me if they could keep my son's DNA, said Andrea Bellino. Her son's DNA was among millions of banked samples stored at the Texas A&M Health Sciences Center School of the Rural Public Health. Makes me suspicious. I think there's no reason for the state to have a database of all the blood and the DNA of every single person who has been born here. There's no legitimate reason for that. The state said there is a legitimate reason: research. According to documents, the state admits some of the blood samples collected from newborn screening program were used for other purposes, but it said it's done in concordance with federal and state law. The government still has to ask, said Bellino. They just can't take it, and everyone has the right to make that decision for themselves. Jim Harrington, the attorney for the Texas Civil Rights Project, who's representing Bellino and the other families in the federal lawsuit, said it violates the 4th and 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. "It's a bad thing," said Harrington. "You have the consent to give up the right. You have to consent to give up the right. In this case, your right to privacy and your right and your kids' right to privacy." So it's an interesting story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I figure, you know, I try to bring the good stuff to the show. I think that, it's bizarre. Everyone's really freaking out about privacy, and, you know.
Well, especially in the U.S. with taking the DNA samples, and they could do DNA screening for certain diseases, and with the health care that they have there and the rest of the world, that they could be denied health care based on, you know, specific ailments that they're predisposed to.
Well, I mean, without getting sucked into this argument, you know, of which is better, we have the screening tools, they're available to us now, okay? And the government has these screening tools as well. So if you're the government, you're going to want to have a certain kind of people in your population, regardless of what those kind of people are. Maybe they're hardworking people, maybe they're warlike people, but you're going to have a certain desire for a kind of people you want to have in your population. So once you're able to get this kind of data and you control the media so you can control what people want, you can effectively breed your population by making essentially eugenics somehow fashionable and sexy. Which is how you get, like, you know, children who think they're too skinny, and bulimia, and things like this. This is byproducts of media saturation, right? So, it's I think that, how does this relate to the Texas blood thing? Well, when you start looking at this kind of data, like, what are they using this data for? Like, is there a wrong use of data? Is there bad math? Like, if they find out that, yes, there is a trend within these certain people to commit, you know, crime or violent acts or something like that, is that information that you want to be releasing? Do you want to start going down that kind of dark path? You know, it's a really sketchy area of science, and I don't know enough about it, but and I think that ethically,
if that database gets online and you go to apply for a job?
Well, this is it too, yeah.
And somebody goes, and the future employer goes, "Well, we did a look up on your DNA. You're a bit predisposed to violence."
Oh yeah, it's Gattaca.
We have to have that around here because we work with the public.
Right. Yeah. You know, and they see something like that, no one's going to give Buddy a second shot. But that data exists now, and people are like, you're not going to be able to stop this kind of information from getting out and getting around. But it's definitely. I mean, something we have to be aware of, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
What's
I mean, people don't know that their data is getting around it. The public's not even informed that this is happening. Like I said, it's like, I didn't know that my son's DNA was kept in somewhere in Texas.
Yeah, I guess I probably wouldn't care a hell of a lot. That makes me a bad person, I guess. But I'd probably be like, eh, whatever.
But you have to think about the people that do care.
Yeah.
Maybe no. I wouldn't care either.
Well, you know,
you've got to think of the general populace.
Well, I mean, you and I feel very differently about a great number of things, right? So it's like, you know, I try to respect what you care about, and I can understand that would piss some people off. You know, but again, too, sometimes I'm a little bit too Robert Heinlein for my own good. You know, that's you know, I'm kind of, you know, Starship Trooper, the whole thing. So, speaking of which, doggy armor, check it out. This is from Baldy's hometown over here. Oh, it's a tough world for man's best friend. This is your Cyberpunk hit, some doggy armor. Patrol dogs dodge bullets every day at home and risk their lives sniffing out trouble in Iraq and Afghanistan. As a result, Canine Storm in Winnipeg, Canada, is making $5 million a year selling custom armor for dogs in the U.S. Army, Navy, Marines, and Special Forces, police departments, 13 countries, and security firms worldwide. So, if you're out there and you got yourself a WOG dog, absolutely. You want to go talk to the good people. You want to go talk to the good people over at Canine Storm over in Winnipeg, Canada, and have a look at their stuff. They're not cheap. Okay, the vests are not cheap. An intruder starts at 20 grand. $20,000. But the Slaters say they have dozens of pre-orders. Military working dogs are major investments, costing up to $50,000 each to purchase and train. There are also plenty of donors stepping up to help cash-strapped municipalities to buy the vets. Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, gave $250,000 to the Pittsburgh Police and Fire Departments for canine armor. You know, that was that Michael Vick, the guy who did all the dog fighting thing. Is that his name?
Yeah.
The dog fighting guy. Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, maybe he should play like dog support payments, and he has to like buy, you know, so many of these every year for every dog that he, you know, killed. Tattoo
that would be justice.
On the back
yeah.
Freaking head. Anyway. Like, oh man, you know, it would have been wrong, but I totally would have shot that guy. Like, oh my God. Wow. You know, and I know it makes me pretty Paul Watson, doesn't it? You know? Paul Watson's doing exactly the same thing for whales, you know, as he is.
That's right.
He's following his heart. You know, maybe following your heart isn't always... Maybe following your heart isn't always the best option, you know?
Not
maybe,
always,
maybe
no.
Maybe you should think a little bit. I'm just saying. But, yeah, so there. It's interesting, though, to see doggy armor. I've always thought doggy armor would be a really good idea. And it turns
out... It's a very good idea. If your dog's in the line of fire...
And here's
gotta
a good
equip them.
Here's a good gift for the missus, a Gen 1 gene scanner. Here's for good fun at home. A desktop instrument recently approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration that might finally bring pharmacogenomic testing.
There's a mouthful.
The fun. It's pharmacogenomic testing. It's fun for everyone. No, it's fun for everyone. To use of the patient's genetic information for drug prescription decisions to the mainstream. So what is this? It's a device made by Nanosphere, which is great. The company's called it. A startup based in Northbrook, Illinois, can, in a matter of hours, detect genetic variations in blood that modulate the effectiveness of some drugs. Okay. So what they do is they take your blood. They feed it into this little machine. It goes ka-chunk, 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 and spits out what drugs will work best with you. So it's like...
Perfect.
This guy is a rum guy. No, this guy here is a vodka man. You know, that's... Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Anyway, so that's a bizarre piece of, nightmarish kit that the doctors will be leaning over your body with while you're paranoid and staring up, waiting for your
hat. I could see where the research funding came from for that, if it tells you what kind of drugs work best for you.
Yeah. Yeah, you think? I mean, now there's a... If that's not an e-meter, I don't know what is. But anyway. Now, of course, Simi, don't worry, man. I've got some UFO news. Yes!
Oh, I was worried.
No, it's true.
We weren't going to make it through a show without some UFO news, and I was getting very sad.
You know, I'm thinking that there's a lot of we were talking about this before the show started a little bit, but there's a lot of divers listening to the show, so I'm also very keen on sea monster sightings. Because did you know this pisses me off? I'm going to call them out on this. Fortean Times. You ever read Fortean Times? They Charles Fort.
Told me about it.
Yeah, he's this dude, really, really nice. Lived turn of the century kind of guy. He wandered around collecting all these crazy stories. Raining blood, that kind of stuff. Really good Cthulhu mythos stuff. You know? And, like, if you're going to believe in, you know, imaginary beings and stuff, why not Cthulhu? I mean, you know, he's good fun. your reality becomes a lot more interesting. You know, why not?
Go for the big stuff.
Sure. You know, madness beyond the stars. Fuck, it's just as likely as anything else. So, I'm a big fan of that stuff. So, and then all of a sudden... They would collect these stories. Charles Fort collected these stories. And then this became a publication called The Fortean Times over time. And I'm paraphrasing Hughes here. Anyway, they got a website called The Fortean Times. And there was a magazine. And you used to be able to go there and get, like, your daily news links that were submitted so that you could, like, go through them and, you know, look at, like, if somebody said, hey, I found, you know, the bat baby ate my cat. You know, you could go there and get those kinds of stories, right? But occasionally, they were originally intended to be somewhat serious. Where you've got people who say, yeah, you know what, it rained blood here in the town for 3 days, and you have the whole town saying that. And there was cases of that. So it was very, very interesting stuff. And you're laughing now, but you still haven't watched that documentary I told you to watch, have you? No,
no, I haven't. No, no, I haven't.
So you have a big cup of shut the fuck up over there. And you know, yeah, you haven't watched that.
Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
Maybe
I'll
you watch should. It maybe you should, we should. I'll watch it with you tomorrow. I'll watch it with you tomorrow. If we got time before we go, yeah. I totally watched that again. It was a good show.
Maybe.
We're talking about the documentary, I Know What I Saw. I know what I saw, man.
Don't tell me what I saw. I saw it.
Yes. It's, yeah. They took it off of Documentary Heaven. Dun, dun, dun. That's okay.
Oh, conspiracy. Fuels a fire, right?
Oh, you know, you haven't even seen it. You haven't even seen it. Jeez.
It must be true then. They're censoring it.
You know,
it's
wow.
The aliens.
As long as you're going to be objective, you know? Not like going in there biased. You know, as long as you keep an open mind.
V is actually a documentary.
You know, I'm going to try to get some Semtex and, like, glue it into your scalp to open your mind up just a fraction. And, you know, then try to view this, okay? Just think about it.
That's it.
Okay. I'm not afraid of science. You're afraid of science. That's a feeble mind.
Oh, yeah.
That's a weak mind right there. All right. In UFO news, back to my weak mind thing, working on deciphering a complex set of symbols sent to them, work on deciphering a complex set of symbols sent to them is underway. Scientists from the country's space, what the fuck? Sorry, I'm missing like half this story. I don't know what happened. Yeah, like it's deleted or something. Pardon me. I just boom, big shit show. Well, that's really bizarre.
Didn't see it all.
Yeah, that's not good at all. So, what I'm gonna do is, for some reason, Google logged me out again too, which they do that every now and again. I don't know why they do that, but they do that.
So,
I hate that shit. I really do.
It's the aliens.
Oh, now you don't start that shit again. You know, really. Yeah, I mean, you know, you to be fair. You know, you should at least give the documentary a chance, really.
Oh, I will. I will.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Yeah, I'm so sure. Now, I'll have to go to the original article because I've got this in my... this is from the Bulgarians. The Bulgarians. The reputable Bulgarians. Where the hell is Bulgaria? Does anybody even know where the fuck Bulgaria is? Scientists are working around the clock to figure out where is Bulgaria. Suddenly, all my Bulgarian listeners are going to be writing me pissed off email now. Sean, we're not just Bulgarians, you know? What do they look like in Bulgaria? Like, seriously, I'm going to, like, go to Bing. Oh, there it is. Scientists already claim aliens from outer space are already among us on Earth, say Bulgarian government scientists who claim they are already in contact with extraterrestrial life. Bulgarians! There's a government world government right there! Work on deciphering a complex set of symbols sent to them is underway, scientists from the country's Space Research Institute said. They claim aliens are currently answering 30 questions posed to them. Just 30, though. No more, no less. Lachar Filipov, deputy director for the Space Research Institute of the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences, confirmed the research. He said the center's researchers were analyzing 150 crop circles from around the world. Which they believe answers the questions. Aliens are currently all around us and are watching us all the time, Mr. Filipov told Bulgarian media.
God.
They're not hostile towards us. Rather, they want to help us. But we have not grown enough in order to establish direct contact with them. Mr. Filipov said that even the seat of the Catholic Church, the Vatican, had agreed that aliens exist. He said that humans were not able to... I can do this. Hang on. He said humans were not going to be able to establish contact without the extraterrestrials through weighty ways, but through the power of thought. The human race... The human race was certainly going to have a direct contact with the aliens in the next 10 to 15 years. 10 to 15 years.
Same time Jesus comes back.
Extraterrestrials are critical of the people's amoral behavior, referring to the human's interference with the nature's processes. Whoa! Whoa! put the
Oh, yeah, they're all Star Trek all the way.
Oh, no,
Star Trek all the way.
No, no, no. Hang on right there, spinach chin. Okay, just hold up there, fancy pants. You're going to tell me that we're interfering with nature's problems? Fuck you, alien. Fuck you, alien. You're going to fly over here in your spaceship through time and space, fucking up reality, cutting up my cows, okay, leaving their bodies, making all kinds of vandalism on my planet, and you're going to get all up on your fucking high horse because you don't like our amoral behavior, referring to our interference.
They're
going to
contact
the
vegans first.
Like, dude, what do you want us? You want us to stay in the trees like good little monkeys? Fuck you. You know, and you better run back into your little Star Cruiser, because if I catch your skinny little ass, I'm going to make her pay for what you did to Daisy. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Let's show you what...
I think they're true, and I now, reading that last sentence, and I think they're going to contact the vegans first, because we interfere the least in nature processes, and they're all down with that.
So what? You're going to, like, you're going to turn into some kind of weird human race traitor because you're a vegan? I mean, that's... No.
That's right.
No, you wouldn't. I don't think you would. Well, I don't think you would. Like, it was like, hey, Sean, we'll give you this Star Cruiser, but you have to use it to destroy most of your own planet. But you get a Star Cruiser. You know, like, you get a Star Cruiser, and you get a big armada, but you have to kill the rest of your human race with it. And you know. So, I'd say okay, and then double-cross them, and just, you know, run away from the Star Cruiser, and we just, you know, spin at the last minute.
Oh, they've heard you. The aliens will hear this broadcast.
Oh,
you
damn
should have
it!
Said that out loud.
Yeah, and they're around us
it's
all
ruined.
The time. All the time.
Listening to our transmissions into space.
God, I hope so. I hope so. Because, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand. If they're flying around and they're trying to get, like, information on us and shit, just ask, man. Just ask. There's all kinds of humans out there that are more than happy to sing you whatever kind of data you want, okay? There's dudes who dedicated their whole freaking lives to meeting you, okay? And they really want to hang out. Like, they really do. So, you know, if you've got issues with, you know, how we conduct business down here on Earth, there are people willing to listen to you. And I promise, you know, land on the White House lawn, man. You're going to get some attention. If somebody was to land on, like, White House lawn in Mecca, and a little dude got out and said, like, okay, stop killing each other. Maybe we might get some world peace, you know, for, like, 20 seconds or something while the rest of the world, like, you know.
Well, everything would stop for a bit, yeah.
Freak the fuck out. Yeah, but anyway, so that was, we're going to move into, I don't know what happened there. I think that UFO news, that invaded my cyberpunk kit. I don't know how that wound up down there. There's some UFO news in there just for shits and giggles. And, of course, I've got your daily hack today. Well, some daily hacks. We have iChrome, which is my cross between, like, the iPod and Chrome and all that good stuff. Yeah, I call it
the iChrome.
The iChrome. It's Chrome AR. It's an app. iPhone/Android layer. The mobile app that overlays data markers over what your phone camera sees hits 3.0 releases in a big way. The new release features 3G objects, multiple layers at once, and guided through tours, among other improvements. So this is that. This is basically augmented reality applications you can download and install on your phone.
Awesome.
Pretty hot. Yeah, very hot. I think it's neat. As well, now this is even hotter than that. Sent in by Data Knight is Freenet, which you probably know about already, but was news to me. Freenet is free software that lets you anonymously share files, browse and publish free sites, websites accessible only through Freenet, and chat on forums without fear of censorship. Freenet is decentralized to make it less vulnerable to attack, and if used in darknet mode, where users can only connect to their friends, it is very difficult to detect. Communications by Freenet nodes are encrypted and are routed through other nodes that make it extremely difficult to determine who is requesting the information and what its content is. Users contribute to the network by giving bandwidth and a portion of their hard drives, called the data store, for storing files. Files are automatically kept or deleted depending on how many or how popular they are, with the least popular being discarded to make way for the new, more popular content. So it's sort of like a BBS. Files are encrypted, so generally a user cannot easily discover what is in his data store, and hopefully can be held and can't be held accountable for it. Chat forums, chat forums, websites, and search functionality are all built on top of this distributed data store. Freenet has been downloaded over 2 million times since the project started, has been used for the distribution of censored information all over the world, including countries such as China and the Middle East. Ideas and concepts pioneered in the Freenet have had significant impact in the academic world. Our 2000 paper, Freenet, a distributed anonymous information storage and retrieval system, was the most cited computer paper science paper of 2000, according to Sightseer, and the Freenet has also inspired papers in the worlds of law and philosophy. So it's a very interesting application to look at, and
yeah,
it's part of your daily.
Awesome.
Yeah, really good idea. I like it. Free open access to information. Yeah. No such thing as thought crimes. But you touch that kid, I'm blowing you in half. Zap, and as well, this was really neat. This one got sent in. It's a Zapstrap escape. If you ever get Zapstrap cuffs, this shows you how to get out of them. It's how to escape and evade in an urban environment article. We briefly discuss escaping zip ties. There are a few hasty methods of illegal restraint, and zip ties are a method that's available to any would-be kidnapper, not just police. A few other methods seen are duct tape, rope, and phone cord, but a little education, you'll see that all these methods can easily be defeated. There are two things you'll need in any escape situation. Without these two things, nothing we show you will work. These two things are time and opportunity. You first should be able to put one of these escape plans in action, the opportunity to do so. Your captors are most not likely going to have the resources or patience to keep eyes on you constantly. And when they don't, it's time to make your move. Very interesting. And in keeping with, my whole, you know, Lovecraftian love, I would love to do a Lovecraftian movie. We should totally do a period movie that doesn't suck. You know, like something like all the actors, all the Cthulhu student films, they all get a bunch of guys in costumes and they try to make an old movie and they all suck. I'd like to make one that doesn't suck, you know? Anyway.
Yeah.
Britain's Royal Society. The 350th anniversary of Britain's Royal Society, making it the world's oldest scientific institution. This is the Vatican for you, Simi, right here. It's the world's oldest scientific institution. Which, I don't know if that's really true, because there's some stuff in, like, Persia and China that's a hell of a lot older than 350 years. But anyway.
Maybe staffed and uninterrupted use and...
Yes.
Some of the stuff out there is, you
probably
know, invented
declared,
a long time back.
They've probably declared war on more countries than any other royal society. Will be marked by the release of a vast library of papers online from the likes of Sir Isaac Newton and Benjamin Franklin. This isn't just science nerd stuff, though. There's a treasure trove of history that is easily connected to modern scientific thought. So, and this goes on, that's Eureka Media today, where we've got, like, some interesting information that's just become available in the old ancient history category at the good people from the British Royal Society. So, very cool there. And kind of in the suicidal soldier news, kind of in the I told you so news, and anyone who's been listening to the show for a long time knows that I have been warning and warning and warning about an epidemic of suicides sweeping the army because these soldiers are going to come back all fucked up and nobody's listening, and it's really kind of sad. So of course, the army has responded to a near epidemic of suicide. Facing rising numbers of suicide in its ranks, the U.S. Army last week published new guidance, and there's a link to it, which is a PDF, for improving the mental health of a soldier and preventing or responding to suicide attempts. The key is prevention of suicide and a positive leadership in deep concern by supervisors of military personnel and Army civilian employees who are at increased risk of suicide. You know, this is going to read like stereo instructions. Factors contribute to suicide are said to include loneliness, an emotional state in which a person experiences powerful feelings of emptiness and spiritual isolation. I see. Myself being a standard soldier, I don't know what loneliness is. Worthlessness, which is, according to the U.S. military, an emotional state in which an individual lacks any feelings of being valued by others. Often induced by drill instructors. Hopelessness, a strong sense of futility due to the belief that the future holds no escape from current negative circumstances. Helplessness and guilt. Guilt, of course, is a strong sense of shame associated with the actions that they believe are wrong. That is guilt. I see. So, what we need to do is that's why I love Army manuals.
Definitions for robots.
I love that shit. Like, there's no fucking around with that. You know, the army directed its commanders to carry out a series of efforts to promote their soldiers' health. You will promote their health to reduce the stigma associated with addressing mental health issues. Now, if that's not the blind leading the blind, and to manage at-risk soldiers, an at-risk soldier, that's hilarious, to include processing for separation as appropriate and in a timely manner. To include processing for separation as appropriate in a timely manner.
Oh, nice. Processing for separation.
To include processing for separation as appropriate in a timely manner. The New York Times It's brutal. The New York Times last week described the rise of military suicide as near epidemic. They reported that 133 active duty U.S. soldiers committed suicide this year through to the end of October.
Wow.
Making it likely that last year's record of 140 will be surpassed. We still got time, folks. it's a new publication. The Army said that in its new publication, the Army said it's not always possible to detect or predict suicidal intent. What are you doing with the warm bowl of water? Nothing. I'm just going to go shave. Are ya?
Yeah.
Well, I'm watching you, Ranger. Anyway, and that the elements... and that eliminating suicide altogether was not a realistic objective. Some suicides may be expected, even in units with the best leadership climate. And wow. Quote, some suicides may be expected, even in units with the best leadership climate, and most effective crisis intervention and suicide prevention programs. Therefore, it is important to redefine the goal of suicide prevention as being suicide risk reduction, which consists of reasonable steps taken to lower the probability that an individual will engage in acts of self-destructive behavior.
Will engage.
So, suicide prevention is unfucking realistic. What we need to have... we need to have suicide risk reduction. No.
That's right.
No.
Redefining it changes the whole thing.
Fuck you, man. This is adding to the suicidal problem, is you're redefining. That's bang. You've hit on it, like, right there. You know, ta-da. That's part of the problem right there, you know. But that's all I got for you today. Don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to the show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so. Please give a few dollars by clicking on the donate tab on the website, Rant Media. Check it out. Always good. Or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 3370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. And Damonkin is now Blacklight, but that's black like light. Like light fighter, like L-I-T, like Blacklight. And I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. Be sure to shine us blah, blah. Be sure. But I blew out my mouth. Be sure to sign up to the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to check out some Psytrance. Now, have you got anything else to, you know, take away?
Yeah, home? I got a package the other day. And
a package?
It says, hey, Sim, please find and close 3 tubs of Marmite as further proof that you have most exceptional taste.
Oh.
Thanks for all the Rant Radio I've been listening to over the last 8 years. Please ignore anyone who says you shouldn't be on the song. Sean, all the greats were double acts. Congrats on getting married, doing it myself in a year, still waiting with great anticipation for Evolver. Breathless Again and Hypocrite are still getting people on the dance floor when I play it in the local club. And generally, wishing you huge amounts of good for the up forever. From Raggedy, and it's a P.S. Yeah, and a hello to Sean as well, so they doesn't start to... So, thank you for the Marmite.
Oh, well, you broke up a little bit there when you were reading it, but...
Okay.
And that was Raggedy?
Because my volume's so low.
Yeah,
it's from Raggedy.
Is your volume that low?
Well, I think Second Life cuts me out if my volume's too low, because it thinks I'm not talking.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that was the case. Maybe I should turn you down next time. You cut out a couple times during the show.
But, oh, okay. Well, I got some Marmite in the mail. Yay!
No, 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 no. We got 90% of it. There was just a couple of things, but that raggedy.
Oh, okay.
No.
Raggedy.
Nice. Okay, cool. Good deal. Well, that's very, very nice that you got Marmite. And I'm telling you, man, you're taking over. You're going to be the new face of Rant. Won't be long. You won't even need me anymore. I'll get forgotten, and then I'll lose my time slot. I'll start, that's right. You know? It'll all be all hail Tazor, the all-seeing eye of Rant.
Yeah, wonderful Tazor.
It's awesome!
I'll worship Tazor.
It's great! The all-seeing eye of Rant, man. We just got to come up with the bad guys now. We got T-Fod. That's always been one of my favorite bad guys, T-Fod.
T-Fod?
Yeah. T-Fod, the forces of darkness, man. T-Fod.
Oh, yeah.
T-Fod, yeah. T-Fod's good, you know, as far as bad guys go. You know, they're the guys who were, like, pulling the strings with the Nazis. The Nazis worked for T-Fod, you know, and T-Fod is still out there.
I see.
Yeah, you see, that's that way you never get rid of T-Fod.
They're the hidden evil.
That's right, yeah, they're the high-quality stuff that always makes for the sequel. So you got to have that. But that will be in the sequel. So remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what server said. End of line.
Insert coin. Batman. Batman. Eat them up, yum, yum.
Yum, yum.